Hello and welcome to the Crisis Point Podcast. I'm Eric Sammons, your host and the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before we get started, just want to encourage people to like and subscribe to the channel, either on your podcast feed, give a review at like Apple Podcasts or wherever, iTunes, wherever it's called these days. I don't really use Apple Podcasts anymore, but give a five-star review. I'd really appreciate that. And subscribe to the channel there and at YouTube and wherever you listen or watch the show. Okay, let's go ahead and get started then. I just want to dive right into it. Well, the day that many of us have been predicting has come. Back, I think it'd be last fall, 2020, a lot of us were saying that the vaccines that were coming down the pike, that there would eventually be a mandate that Catholics would be required, all people would be required to get this vaccine in order to basically participate in society. There's talk about you wouldn't be able to go into a restaurant, you wouldn't be able to go to a ball game, you wouldn't be able to work. A lot of different places where the COVID vaccine would be mandated. And the reason that Catholics were concerned about this is because, of course, the abortion connection to all the currently available COVID vaccines, at least here in the United States. Each of them has at least some connection to abortion. And there's also people who have concerns about the vaccine for health reasons, for just the fact that it hasn't been approved yet even by the FDA, although I hear they're pushing that through pretty soon. But people have concerns about the vaccine, but we're being mandated to take it. I know in New York City, there's talk. I don't know if this is passed or not. There's talk that basically you can't be indoors unless you're vaccinated. And somebody brought up the fact that children under 12 can't be vaccinated, that they're not eligible to get the vaccine. And they basically just said, well, we'll have to deal with that. In other words, they hadn't even thought about that fact when they said that to go to indoor places like restaurants or anything like that, you had to be vaccinated. They called it like a passport to New York or something like that. Like everybody's just dying to get to New York these days. I think they're still living like it's the 1970s or something over there. But the more pressing thing that's happened recently is there's been a big push by a lot of employers, a lot of big employers, a lot of big companies to force mandate vaccines for their employees or else you'll get let go. I hear Tyson Foods, I think, is mandating it for every single one of their employees. The Army, I believe, is mandating it. I think all the armed forces, maybe. I'm not sure about that. But where I live, basically all the healthcare providers, all the hospitals, and of course, it's all like two or three companies that run all the hospitals around here, like it is in most cities. They essentially all decided October 1st, every employee would have to be vaccinated or else they would be let go. Well, I read just this, I think it was just this morning, only about 50% of healthcare workers are actually vaccinated. And remember, there's been a huge push for vaccinations over the past 6 months or so in the healthcare industry. So the fact that only 50% have been vaccinated kind of tells you that even healthcare workers are not enthusiastic about the vaccine getting it. And so there's been a big pushback. I know there's a protest this evening locally about this mandate. And so the problem comes for Catholics. What are we going to do? This is now the rubber's beating the road. I know that some of us have beaten this drum for years now that there's going to be stuff like this coming down the pike. And some people have been listening, but a lot of Catholics have just been going about their lives and acting like it's not going to happen. And I'm not trying to condemn them because I understand it's much easier, especially when you're living a busy life, you're taking care of your family, you're working, to not be thinking, okay, what's going to happen in the future? You're just simply thinking about how do I get bread on the table tonight? I get that. But the fact is it's now here. It's not something that's in the future, but it's now here. I know of at least maybe a dozen or more people who are right now facing the decision whether or not to get the vaccine before October 1st, or else they're going to be let go. And I shouldn't even say it's a decision. None of them are going to get the vaccine. And so they know that they could very easily be let go from their jobs. Now, fortunately, right now, a lot of these companies are allowing a religious exemption to getting the vaccine. Some of those companies are saying that I know, for example, a friend of mine who works for a major Fortune 500 company, everybody's heard of it. I won't name it here, but they give a religious exemption, but it has to be signed by a religious leader, i.e. your pastor, your rabbi, you know, whoever the case may be. It's kind of like they don't just want people saying, I religiously object without some type of proof. And so now the question has become about Catholics. Can we get the religious exemption? Is it something that Catholic priests should be willing to sign? Or is it not really something we can be exempt from? Now, the reason this is an issue, as most of these Catholic issues are, is it comes back to Pope Francis in one sense, because back in January, when the vaccines were first coming out, he had not even yet gotten his vaccine, although he got it soon after that. He said, I believe that morally, everyone must take the vaccine. Let me repeat that. I believe that morally, everyone must take the vaccine. Pope Francis said this in a January 10th interview for Italy's TG5 news program. I'm getting this, I think, from National Catholic Reporter. He goes on to say, it is the moral choice because it is about your life, but also the lives of others. And of course, we know that's the refrain that's been the main refrain of the COVID regime from the beginning is, you do this because you care for others. And if you don't do the things we tell you to do, social distance, shelter in place, wear masks, get vaccinated, whatever the case may be, then you hate grandma, you hate your neighbor. And so a lot of Catholic leaders, all the way up to the Pope, have embraced this refrain and said, you got to do these things in order to love your neighbor. And so he says that everyone must take the vaccine. He says, morally, everyone must take the vaccine. He's not saying that Catholics should do it. He's saying they have to do it, essentially. He says, I do not understand why some say that this could be a dangerous vaccine. If the doctors are presenting this to you as a thing that will go well and it doesn't have any special dangers, why not take it? I want to include that part because it's a very important part. The Pope gives his reasons why we should take the vaccine. And notice he doesn't even mention, the abortion connection. His only reason he sees that you wouldn't take the vaccine is because of these health reasons, but he says doctors say it's going to go well, so of course we can trust them and we can do it. He said there's a suicidal denialism that I would not know how to explain, but today people must take the vaccine. Again, he's imploring us, you must take it. There is no option in the Pope's mind. If you don't take it, I mean, he's basically saying it's an immoral act not to take it. Now, what's important to note here about therefore Catholics, many Catholic leaders are saying, well, the Pope said we have to take it. You can't get a religious exemption for this. But it's important to remember that the Pope is speaking there as just another person. There's no charism of infallibility that covers these statements because he's basically giving his opinion. And it's based upon the fact that he thinks, first of all, that getting the vaccine will help others. That's his opinion. He might be right, but it's not a statement of faith or morals. Second, he says that it's obviously safe. Well, we all know the Pope isn't a doctor. He has no medical expertise. He's no more qualified to say it's a safe vaccine than anybody you meet on the street. In fact, he's less qualified than some of them. And so again, papal infallibility does not cover this. I know some people are listening, like, of course it doesn't, but people are using this quote from the Pope in an interview as almost a magisterial teaching that we're obligated to get the vaccine, but it's clearly not the case. Papal infallibility does not include knowledge of medical risk. It does not include prudential decisions like this. That's very important to remember. And again, he doesn't even address the issue of the abortion connection, which is the reason a lot of Catholics want a religious exemption. And so, another thing that came up during this whole religious exemption debate is the Archdiocese of New York. I assume some chancery official sent a memo to all the priests in the diocese, basically stating that a priest could not sign a religious exemption letter for one of his parishioners. Here, I'll put it up on the screen here. For those who are listening, I'll read parts of it out, but I'll put this on the screen in front of me here. And basically, it states that we occasionally hear from Catholics who have a sincere moral obligation to the COVID-19 vaccines due to their connection to abortion. So they at least address it. This concern is particularly acute among people who are strongly pro-life and very loyal to the teachings of the faith. Okay. That should be every Catholic. Strongly pro-life and very loyal to teachings of faith. I mean, what does that even mean? And so it goes on to say, Pope Francis has made it very clear that it is morally acceptable to take any of the vaccines and said we have a moral responsibility to get vaccinated. Cardinal Dolan has said the same. Of course, Cardinal Dolan said the same because Pope Francis says that he's going to parrot it. But note there that they are saying, the Archdiocese is saying that because Pope Francis has said this, that it somehow has some weight. It has some magisterial weight is what they're implying. But of course, it has no weight because here's something I want to make very clear. It is impossible for there to be a church teaching about a prudential decision. And that's what taking the vaccine is a prudential decision. There can never be a church teaching that a person is obligated to have something shot into their body, have a medical procedure. That's just simply not possible because what the church teaches are moral principles. Obviously, we're not talking about the faith here. We're talking about the moral principles, not teachings about faith, but about morality. So it teaches moral principles about, for example, the dignity and sacredness of human life, about the immorality of experimenting on babies that were aborted or any human beings, about the need to care for your health and to care for others' health and the common good. These are all factors in a decision about whether or not to get a vaccine. But the church cannot say, she cannot say, you must get this vaccine. It's simply not possible for the church to officially teach that. All she can do is simply give guidelines and principles, which we apply, the lay people apply. Now, bishops and popes can encourage people to do something, take a certain action and say, this is how we read it, but they can't state you have to do this. And then essentially though, what the Archdiocese then says is there's no basis for a priest to issue a religious exemption to the vaccine. By doing so, he's acting in contradiction to the directives of the Pope. Again, they're calling out the Pope as if the Pope's directives here. I mean, this is complete and utter papalatry. That's all it is. It's complete and utter papalatry to think that just because the Pope said something in an interview, we have to obey it. That's simply ridiculous. And by the way, if you hear something in the background, I guess somebody in my family decided to print something right now. And so now the printer's going off. Hopefully that would be the last thing that they print. But what happened, though, is just because the Pope said something in an interview, now the Archdiocese in New York is saying this is a directive of the Pope, as if to be a faithful Catholic, you have to obey it. That is false. You do not have to obey what the Pope said in an interview. That is not Catholic teaching. It never has been. And then, of course, the Archdiocese goes on and admits the real reasons. Imagine a student receiving a religious exemption, contracting the virus and spreading it throughout the campus. Clearly, this would be an embarrassment to the Archdiocese. Oh, my, we wouldn't be invited to the latest cocktail parties. Some even argue that it might impose personal liability on the priest. That, of course, is the real problem. It's the lawyers who are writing these, the lawyers who are worried that they give a religious exemption to somebody, and then all of a sudden that person somehow is connected to somebody getting COVID and maybe having a serious reaction to it, maybe even dying from it, and the Archdiocese is responsible for it. That's the real reason that they're saying this. Now, happily, they're not the only, Archdiocese of Newark may have said this, but the Catholic bishops of Colorado put out a statement. So all the Catholic bishops of Colorado, I want to name them because I want to praise them for what they did. Let me find this here. So Archbishop Samuel Aquila of Denver, Bishop Berg of Pueblo, Bishop Golka of Colorado Springs, and the Auxiliary Bishop of Denver, Jorge Rodriguez. So they signed a statement that basically said that Catholics can receive a religious exemption, and they even gave a templated letter that priests could use to sign. So God bless and praise to the bishops of Colorado. But what we have to be very clear is that the church teaches, this is not just simply a debate between New York and Colorado. And by the way, my own Archdiocese of Cincinnati, they wrote, I just got this right before I went on air. They basically sent an email to a friend of mine telling him that the Archbishop of Cincinnati agrees with New York. So it's not just New York who's doing this. There's other places as well. So it does seem as if it's like that the Pope is saying this, New York is saying this, other bishops are saying this, some bishops are not saying it. So what does the church actually teach? Well, The nice thing is the church has made this very clear. The conscientious objection to these vaccines is not only allowed, it's the preferred and the go-to decision that most Catholics should make in most situations. In 2005, the Pontifical Academy of Life released a statement on the issue of abortion-tainted vaccines. And they also mentioned the... in fact, hold on one second. I'm just going to shut off this printer because it's going to keep on happening otherwise. Okay, so sorry about that. And so what the case is, by the way, my kids from college are home. And so I think they're the ones who are printing things right now. And they don't realize I'm doing this. My younger kids, my 9-year-old isn't printing anything on the printer right now. Okay, so anyway, the Pontifical Academy for Life in 2005 issued a statement. And this was basically endorsed by the Congregation of Doctrine of the Faith. And it states in there, this is about abortion-tainted vaccines. And so it says, it is up to the faithful and citizens of upright conscience to oppose, even by making an objection of conscience, the ever more widespread attacks against life and the culture of death which underlies them. From this point of view, the use of vaccines whose production is connected with procured abortion constitutes at least immediate, remote, passive material cooperation to the abortion and immediate passive material cooperation with regard to their marketing. Furthermore, on a cultural level, the use of such vaccines contributes in the creation of a generalized social consensus to the operation of the pharmaceutical industries, which produce them in an immoral way. Therefore, doctors and fathers of families have a duty to take recourse to alternative vaccines if they exist, putting pressure on the political authorities and health systems so that other vaccines without moral problems become available. They should take recourse, if necessary, to the use of conscientious objection with regard to the use of vaccines produced by means of cell lines of aborted human fetal origin. So this statement does acknowledge that it is possible to receive an abortion-tainted vaccine morally, but it makes it very clear that we should default to conscientious objection. And in fact, after it says it's allowed, they say the moral reason is that the duty to avoid passive material cooperation is not obligatory if there's grave inconvenience. In other words, it is possible to morally remotely cooperate in evil like this if there's some greater evil. Because it says, moreover, we find in such a case a proportional reason in order to accept the use of these vaccines in the presence of the danger of favoring the spread of the pathological agent. What does that mean? Essentially, if the evil is so great that this remote cooperation is possible. But in general, you should conscientiously object to the taking a vaccine such as this that's attained by abortion. And so that's up to people to decide whether or not, that's up to Catholics to decide whether or not this really rises that level. And so obviously, it's clear that the vaccine, you can't object to it on religious grounds as a Catholic. That, period, end of story. No matter what the Pope says in an interview, no matter what the Archdiocese in New York says. And so, fortunately, like I said, the Colorado bishops have recognized this. The National Catholic Bioethics Center has done this, and they actually have a nice template letter, and I'll link to this. I linked to my article that I wrote about at Crisis on this issue in the show notes, and it has links to these different things. And they have a nice template letter about this. Now, somebody mentioned in the comments, they asked, like, you know, the fact that what's the connection between the government and church policy, government money and church policy? To be honest, I don't think you can discount this. The fact is that our diocese receive millions of dollars from the government. The government's obviously pushing the vaccine. And I mean, Archdiocese of New York receives a boatload of money from the government. And so to act like there's no connection here, I think is just, you're putting blinders on. You're being blind to the reality that this obviously have an impact. I personally think the greater impact is the fear of liability. The lawyers are writing this. Not as much that they're afraid of, we're going to lose government funding. I mean, they are afraid of that. But I think the primary concern for them is a lawsuit. Because that's the one thing they want to avoid more than anything else is a lawsuit. Now, one thing I think has not been discussed as much in this about this and with the fact that a lot of people are now risking losing their jobs because of the requirement to get vaccines. And I said at the beginning of the program that the problem is that we've been talking about this for a while, that this is going to happen. This is coming down the pike. And now it's happening. And I don't want to condemn those who have been slower to see it than others, because we all have things that we focus on, and sometimes we miss things. I get that. But now we're there. We're at that time now. You cannot continue to have your blinders on. You have to realize that these things are happening. Catholics are getting pushed out of society more and more every day. And if it's not going to be the vaccine mandate, it's going to be something else. The reality is that the religious exemption is a short-term solution, because I believe very strongly that the religious exemption will only hold for so long. Eventually, what's going to happen is they'll drop that. They're not going to even allow religious exemption. And if it's, and even if that is allowed for a while, there's going to be something else, some other thing that Catholics are going to have to do to keep their job. I mean, just a couple of years ago, just 2 years ago, we would have never guessed that in 2021, people would be losing their jobs because they didn't want to get jabbed with a shot that was tainted with abortion. We simply wouldn't have, most Catholics would not have believed that. I don't think I would have even 2 years ago. I wouldn't have thought it would happen that quickly. I would have said, yeah, maybe that'll happen in 10 years or something like that. I wouldn't have thought it would happen this quickly. But it's happened. And so we have to realize that. We have to realize that even the religious exemptions are a short-term solution. Now, I encourage any Catholic who's supporting their family, a Catholic father, for example, who's supporting his family, and he's got this predicament, to try to get the religious exemption, because that at least buys you time. But I would also say that if you work for a company that is requiring this, you need to look for another line of work. You need to look for another job. I mean, just plain and simple. I really do believe that, because if they're not going to get you here, they're going to get you somewhere else. Your job is very precarious, your job status. It's very precarious. You could very easily lose your job before too long. And so you need to be playing that now. Like, I know people who are in the healthcare industry who are looking to just get out of the entire industry, even though they've been in it for 20 years, because they know if it's not this, it's going to be something else. Eventually, they're going to get pushed out of the healthcare industry because of their beliefs as Catholics. And so we need to look at more long-term solutions. We need to look and recognize the scenario we're in, see the signs of the times, as our Lord says, look at the sign of the times and make decisions based on that. And so the first thing you need to do is you need to consider your own employment. If you work for a Fortune 500 company, you're probably going to be unemployed before too long, within the next couple of years, if you're a practicing Catholic. I just don't think very many of them will resist what's happening right now. And so you need to consider your own company situation, your job situation. If you work for yourself, great. But if you work for a company, how have they reacted to COVID? How are they reacting to the vaccine mandates? And really gauge that. You know, what is the feeling at the company? And if it looks like they're going in that direction, you need to really look at finding other work. You know, use your religious exemption for now, while you're looking for other work. And also, I think this applies to where you are geographically. If you are in New York City, if you're in Los Angeles, if you are in Seattle or something, or Chicago or something like that, and you're a practicing Catholic, you really need to seriously consider looking elsewhere, because we see what like New York City is doing. It's just insane. I do not understand how obviously New York Archdiocese is not going to back you up. We see that. They're not going to back you up on anything, let's be honest. But New York City is just insane. I don't know how a practicing Catholic is going to be able to live there much longer and be able to survive because all the different things they're going to do. And so you need to consider moving. I mean, I know these are radical statements, and 2 years ago, I might have thought them, but I wouldn't have said them out loud. But I really feel like this is what we need to do. We need to be looking at this. And also, part of this is looking at your status as a Catholic, your parish situation, your diocese situation. Now, the problem, of course, with the diocese is it's very much controlled by a bishop. So you might have a good bishop now, but if he's reaching the age of retirement, you might not have a good bishop for very long. And of course, if you go to a Latin mass, those Catholics who go to Latin mass parishes have experienced this very recently, that all of a sudden their status became very precarious. Would they even have the Latin mass? If you go to a diocesan Latin mass, know that your days may be numbered for that parish. I mean, here in my archdiocese, they shut down the diocesan Latin masses and only allowed them where like the fraternity is or the oratory is. And so I really feel like you need to look at that situation too. That in considering where you live and things like that. And I don't want to, I mean, I know what this sounds like. I know it sounds like, you know, the sky is falling, but it does look like it's starting to come down pretty close to us, doesn't it? I mean, like I said, people are about to lose their jobs over not violating their sincerely held religious beliefs as Catholics. And so if that doesn't wake you up, I don't really know what will wake you up. If the last year and a half hasn't woken you up to the reality, I don't know what will. So I really feel like Catholics, especially Catholics who are supporting their family, you really need to understand your situation, get a gauge for what it is, and also build community so that if you do lose your job or somebody you know loses your job, you can support them. We want to support each other as Catholics. So if somebody loses their job and while they're looking for another job, do what you can to support them and help them out, help them find other jobs. I know I'm in a men's group and one of the men in the group lost his job. And so he just sent out an email to the group saying, hey, I lost my job, any help? And people tried to step up as much as they could to help him to try to find another job. So, and that's what we need to do as Catholics. That's part of our calling as Catholics in our parishes and in our Catholic communities. So I'm going to wrap it up here in a minute, but I just want to kind of repeat what I've said already. First thing is that I don't care what the Pope says in an interview, and you shouldn't either. You, as a Catholic, you absolutely have the right to a religious exemption to getting an abortion-tainted vaccine. You might not want to give the vaccine for other reasons too, and I'm, you know, God bless you. I'm just saying, though, for a religious reason, it's absolutely legitimate for a Catholic to ask for a religious exemption. And you need to point your priest, if you need to get your religious leader to sign a letter stating this, you need to point your priest to the links I give in my article that is linked in the show notes at Crisis Magazine. You know, the National Catholic Bioethics Center, their template, what the Colorado Catholic Bishops, if you live in Colorado, God bless you, you're in good shape. But really try to get a letter of an exemption if you can. So you absolutely can do that. But more importantly, understand that that's a short-term solution. If your employer is willing to fire you because in order to get this vaccine, if you don't get the vaccine, then you need to look at other employers. You really need to look at. And somebody in the comments said, you know, start your own company. Absolutely. I know it sounds intimidating. I've started a few companies myself and, you know, over the years, and it's a great thing, but it is very stressful, is very intimidating, but it can be done. You can do that. So, you know, somebody asked in the comments, what recourse can we have as laity to the bishops, the Pope, et cetera? I understand how things should be, but they're not playing by the rules. Absolutely. You're right. I think we pray and fast. And I've said this before. We absolutely work towards, trying to change things. We raise our families so that the future generations of priests will not be like this. I think we can do as much as we can. We can put pressure on the bishops. The fact is that some bishops are being good is a great sign because we can point to them and say, listen, they're saying this is legitimate. The fact that the church documents back us up on this, we can point to that. Ultimately, we can only do what we can do. If you can't get a priest to sign a letter for you, I mean, try to get a lawyer at that point to sign one for you. And so we really need to work towards that. And somebody asked also, where are the large Catholic communities in the USA if we need to move? I mean, the two obvious ones that come to mind off the top of my head are Steubenville, Ohio, and Ave Maria, Florida. There are other ones. I think Lincoln, Nebraska has a very strong community as well. And I know there are strong communities in larger cities, but I just think larger cities, maybe Dallas, because it's a large city, but it's in Texas. Hopefully that would have some protection. And there's a lot of good Catholics down there. And so that's another option. I just think you got to ask around and try to figure out and understand no place of utopia. We're not trying to build a utopia. And this isn't even, I'm not even talking Benedict option here. I'm just saying, try to find ways to be protected from what's coming, because I really do think it's coming. Okay, so start adapting now, start preparing now, do everything you can now for the coming storm, because it's actually already starting. I feel the sprinkles. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling the rain starting to come down. I see the dark clouds. I really do think the storm is coming. Obviously, our Lord can work miracles, and we pray that the Blessed Mother would intercede, and these things will not happen, and that all this goes away. But our Lord also told us to prepare and be ready, because, you know, frankly, a nation that's killed millions and millions of babies over the past 50 years doesn't deserve God's protection. That's the fact of it. So let's not pretend that he's going to somehow magically make all this go away. We don't deserve it. So we need to pray and fast, though, to adapt and to prepare for what we can. Okay, well, thanks a lot for the questions and for the comments during the live stream on YouTube. I really appreciate that. And, you know, next week, by the way, I'm not going to be able to do a live podcast next Tuesday. So I'll be back in about 2 weeks for that. We are going to have an interview, though, this Friday. It's going to come out with, we're going to talk about Medjugorje. I know it's not really on the news, but a lot of Catholic radar right now, but it just celebrates its 40th anniversary. So we're going to talk about that. And what, you know, is it real? Is it fake? You know, what's going on there with an expert on the topic. So, until next time, God love you and, God bless.